Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Gresh and Keith.
People are going to be hard on Mac Jones because he's not doing the wow stuff.
Chucky in the equipment room?
Yeah.
We're going to suit him up, put him in the slot, and run a go around?
You are not going to beat New England because they give you a game.
But according to some fans out there, he's not supposed to do that. He's supposed to throw a go route to make him feel good.
Andy Gresh.
Are you passing up opportunities to take shots down the field?
I wouldn't say that. I just think it goes back to just me sticking to my rules. At the end of the day, it's about moving the ball and taking what the defense gives you.
Rich Keith.
Do you ever watch film? And I said, no, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good.
We f***ing good.
Gresh and Keith.
Well, are the Mac Jones touchdowns like sex?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
On WEEI.
It is the lunchtime hour of Gresh and Keith, 12:02. Good afternoon to everybody out there listening on the big, wide-ranging WEEI Sports Radio Network in Providence on 103.7 FM in Worcester, Springfield, Cape in the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, up in Maine. And you can listen anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Just remember, you're listening on the app, you get in the car, make sure you flip us on, and vice versa. You get out of the car, make sure you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. So we started the show today with, through 2 weeks, what do we think we know about the New England Patriots? And you and I were similar on a lot of stuff in terms of Mac Jones with a good baseline. You got a good kicker, and we know you can trust the kicker.
The offensive line maybe thinner than I thought.
Yeah, definitely. And Bill Belichick, though, did apparently say yesterday that we think we're okay there. So
you're not, though.
I wonder.
At right tackle.
Because my Keefspiracy this week is I don't think we see Trent Brown until next week.
I agree with you, and you better see him against Tampa.
Yes.
Because if you're having an issue against the New York Jets, the Tampa Bay guys up front are going to just wreak havoc, and we might not know just how effective Mac Jones can be in the passing game if those guys on the Bucs front seven are in his face all day.
So if we're to now pivot a little bit and let's widen our discussion through 2 weeks, what do we think we know about the NFL? And for me, it is, I think there are some teams at 2-0 that might be a little fool's gold.
Okay.
I know the Denver Broncos are one of them.
Oh, how dare you.
And
it's John's team.
I'm also, I'm not completely convinced on the Raiders at 2-0. And I know they got a tough, gritty win in their home building, first time with fans on Monday Night Football 2 Mondays ago where they beat the Ravens. But we also know the Ravens did a lot to beat themselves, and they've dealt with a ton of injuries.
Right.
And then they beat a Pittsburgh team that is not good. That Pittsburgh win in Buffalo, we're going to look back on that and be like, that was not reflective of what that football team really is. And I know it's targeting the AFC West. I mean, Denver, I think, will end up with a losing record by the end of the year. I have no faith they're going to have a winning record. I don't know if the Raiders are as good as that record indicates.
They may not be, but it's two pretty impressive wins. So I'll take that for the Raiders. To me, I think Jacksonville may get the number one pick in back-to-back years. Because not only are they 0-2, and they lost what everybody thought would be a winnable first game against the Houston Texans. They're 0-2, and we highlighted it yesterday on our final segment of the show. Their Twitter account put out a post that basically said, hey, gang, stick with us. Like, don't go anywhere. We're going to turn this thing around. Nobody works harder than us. I was like, oh, my God, they just confirmed it. They're going to go 0-4. They're going to lose every game this year. If not that, they're going to win one or two, and they're going to be in the same situation they were a year ago. Year one of Urban Meyer has already been a disaster. There were reports after week one, he had to refute reports that he wanted to pack up and leave. And now, even if he didn't want to pack up and leave, it's just amazing that it took a week for that to become a story. And they are a disaster. Everybody was looking at Houston like, oh, look at Houston. And don't get me wrong, they're a mess too. David Culley, like,
no, he doesn't know what he's doing. Shit. That's a mess.
He has no idea what he's doing. Nope. Did you see what happened with him on this was unbelievable. So there was a play against the Browns where there was a penalty committed and they could choose. It was either going to be 3rd and 15 or like 4th and 2.
Mm-hmm.
He declined the penalty to make it 4th and 2 and punted. So he declined it and punted. So he could have, it was like around midfield. So if you want to decline it, you could have maybe tried to go for it. Maybe if you want to be a little risky.
But 3rd and 15?
Or 3rd and 14? I forget what it was.
Right.
Like, And then afterwards he was like, and he was like, well, you know, field position, like the guy is a mess. He's swimming in it. He shouldn't be the coach there, but he already beat Urban Meyer, that guy. So I know those are two teams that aren't going to really be a factor. I know the Patriots play both of them, but as far as, you know, taking a wild card spot, they won't be, but they are atrocious. But I think Houston, based on what they did to Cleveland, that might be the friskier team, whereas Jacksonville could very well be the team that is on like a winless watch.
And I thought with Houston, they were destined for the number one pick. They're trying to tank, and maybe they're
Jacksonville's like, no, we got you.
Yeah, there's more ineptitude in the league that could keep the Houston Texans from getting that number one pick. By the way, Tyrod Taylor out for at least 4 weeks.
And they still won't go with Watson.
Nope.
It's Davis Mills, who was the first pick in the Nick Caserio era. Like a third rounder. They didn't have any picks, but I think he was the first pick they had, right?
I think so. Third rounder. They had a group of third round picks, and you're right. Yeah. That was the first guy that they took. And supposedly that was a guy the Patriots had their eye on, and thank God,
yeah,
we don't, at least we think, knock on wood, we don't have to go through that exercise anymore.
One thing that also jumped out to me through 2 weeks is a lot of teams, we might find out what they are week three because there was such a swing. A lot of the teams that are 1-1, they're not like the Patriots who had a close game, could have won it. Like
look at Miami.
Like a lot of teams like that got blown out 1 week, blew out the next week. Like the Packers, the Bills, even the Steelers. Not that those were blowouts, but the Steelers, what are they? Like, on the one hand, like, hey, we're talking these teams up. We're like, look what they're doing. So the Saints are a good one.
The Saints are a good one.
So
we'll
the
get
Saints
to them
Packers,
next hour.
Week one, looked like two completely different teams than they looked like in week two. And that's why, yeah, exactly. Saints coming to town, that is sort of what really are they? Because you pop in one tape and you're really impressed. You pop in another, and you're like, oh, this team kind of stinks. And they're not alone in that regard.
No, my God, they're not alone at all. You know, the Tennessee Titans, they took it on the chin against Arizona and then had to battle their ass off into overtime.
Huge comeback against the Seahawks.
To get a win. Yeah. And, you know, those are the teams that especially, and I know that it fits the narrative for the Bills as well. Like, but the Bills didn't get rolled the way Tennessee did in week one. Like
Arizona
put it on Tennessee to where you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what the hell happened there?
Right.
A lot like Green Bay, where they got wagoned by New Orleans, and then they came back last night, and we saw that representative effort. But, you know, it was on the road that Tennessee had to go do that. And in a place like Seattle, where we talk about the roster construction and how teams have the right mentality to be able to win in the postseason, like, to me, what Tennessee did was maybe the most impressive bounce back of anybody because they had to go do it on the road. And by the way, they were down 15 at the half.
Yeah.
So they played six quarters of bad football and then turned it around like that and made everybody, I guess, buy back into what you think that football team can become.
And it feels like it's going to be another 350 carry season for Derrick Henry because that was the key to success. I mean, they turned it over and they just fed him the ball in the second half. Usually you don't get back into games by just running it, but that's what worked for him.
You mentioned Derrick Henry, and I saw this nugget about Derrick Henry. Since the start of the 2018 season, there have been just four games in the NFL where a player had at least 33 carries. Would you like to guess what four teams they were against Derrick Henry? Because he has all four of them.
They're all Derrick Henry.
They're all Derrick Henry. Giants, Texans, the other day against the Seahawks, and against the Patriots.
How about that? Yeah, that makes sense. Can't stop it.
33. Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah,
if they're not going to, it's the Jets theory that you rolled out a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Mike LaFleur is such a rube. You know, right. You just run the ball. You're running the ball all over them. Be patient and run it and kind of let the game come to you.
Yeah.
But Derrick Henry is, he's a different kind of unicorn. That's why I was at least throwing his name out there for MVP, because when you can start to cite stats like that to where, like, when Football Perspective is putting out there, hey, in the last four seasons, this guy has done this, it's hard not to notice how much of the load that guy is shouldering.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, he's super impressive, and there's not really any other guys. I mean, maybe Dalvin Cook. Like, you're trying to think of, all right, we're going to get back in this game, and we're going to run it 30 times. You got to go in committed to running the ball close to 30 times with a guy. There's less and less and less of that.
I tell you, and I know he's had a ton of injuries, but the only team that I could see doing it, but they're a mess themselves, would be the New York Giants because of the way Dave Gettleman builds football teams.
But then that guy, I don't know.
But he gets hurt, right? You'll have one or two games of that where you can go over 30, and then the guy ends up getting dinged up. You know, that NFC West, they finally got their first loss. Obviously, it was Tennessee handing it to Seattle.
Right.
But you have Arizona at 2-0, the Rams at 2-0, and the 49ers at 2-0.
And no Trey Lance in week two. So you saw him a little bit week one. They're pretty confident in Garoppolo. I don't think they needed him, but I think he's somebody that opponents are always going to have to prepare for.
You think it's on the road, too, maybe a little bit? Like, trying to think about why they wouldn't have used him?
Or, I mean, I think it's not like he played a lot in week one.
Right.
You know, so he is sort of like a gimmick kind of gadget type thing. But they clearly have confidence in Garoppolo. And Garoppolo seems to have a little bit of confidence, too. It's a weird situation to put a quarterback in. You drafted the guy third overall, and you're like, yeah, and you clearly love him. You didn't just draft him third overall. You traded all these first-round picks to move up
to
and take him.
Right.
And he's on the team, and Garoppolo's in the last year of his contract. It's a weird spot. A lot of quarterbacks would be pitching a fit.
I don't know how that team is dealing with it. Like, they lost four running backs already. Right. We know they're a run-based group. Garoppolo is the most experienced guy, and I think the best guy for the job out there. And yet it feels like we're playing this season, but we're also kind of openly talking about next year and our future by having him on the roster. And you're right. I'm amazed that Shanahan is able to manage that group the way he has. Kyle Shanahan, well, you got to give him credit. However he's making it work, either Jimmy Garoppolo is very passive and is subjugating his ego to make it easy, or Kyle Shanahan must be like a, how do I describe this? Like a player managing wizard.
A Zen master.
A great coach.
Well said, Sean.
No, but there's different.
Chris was trashing him earlier.
But there's different. No, I don't dog out him. I dog out Poopy Pants McVay, who
like
wets McVay himself as soon as he
like
sees,
the guy had 4 years
as
ago
sees Bill Belichick.
In the Super Bowl, mind you, and he holds that against him.
Yeah.
Holds that against him.
Oh, because
people can't change. So when Kevin Durant was like,
oh my God,
McVay has had a winning
Kevin
record,
Durant
like,
crapped his pants against LeBron James in the finals and was just happy to be there. I'm pretty sure he turned into a good player
after
that.
But if I saw Kevin Durant jumping up and down and acting like it was Christmas morning, for God's sake.
That series was lost because he was in awe to be on the court with him. But guess what? He learned from that and then ended up winning titles later on.
Sean McVay has had four straight winning records. Kyle Shanahan has had one. Yeah. I love Shanahan. I think he's the best offensive play caller in football.
McVay
is a better coach.
But he's top five coach in the league.
But there's a big difference between being a good football coach and being good at managing people. Because a lot of football coaches are not good at managing people.
No, and that's why, like, the baseball manager, that's, like, the number one thing.
Yeah, right? That's
like,
that's right. In that sport, that's what it's got to be.
But, yeah, Shanahan, and I don't know if it's all Shanahan or if it's just a personality trait of Jimmy Garoppolo. Most quarterbacks wouldn't stand for that situation at all. Now, I guess part of it, maybe his agent, I think it's still Don Yee, says to him, you're making $25 million.
Right, tough spot to be in,
and
huh?
If you weren't hurt all the time, we could probably haggle for a little bit more. You got to play. Because if he plays every game this year, he's going to make a ton of money somewhere. Somebody will pay him.
Oh, right? If you're Denver, how are you not all over him?
And listen, I don't think he's great, but one of the big knocks on him is just that. He's hurt. So if he puts together a healthy season and a contract year, I don't think it would be a great signing by that team, but somebody would. Somebody would pay him a lot of money. So maybe he must know that and also realize that he's in a good spot for said contract year.
Yeah!
He's not on the Texans. He's on the Jets. Imagine if they flipped him to the Texans. They're like, good luck. Go get a contract after this year.
And they didn't jerk him around on his current contract, which is something that Belichick definitely would have done.
He's not playing for that here.
Exactly. Yeah. They would have messed with him, especially with another guy
in
the
house. By the way, we'll learn a lot about the Niners. They have the Packers on Sunday Night Football, then the Seahawks, then at the Cardinals.
Ooh.
Next three games.
A nice little test there.
Really good.
You know, the big thing for them, they have to knock on wood every time they talk about their defense. Yeah. If their defense stays healthy,
pretty good.
They are layered and they're pretty, other than maybe a corner, they are layered and they're deep because they got a good group of defensive tackles. By the way, in this spot tomorrow, 12:10 p.m., Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston will be with Gresh and Keefe chopping up everything Patriots and in the NFL. Couple of notes here.
Yes.
And a great follow on Twitter for those of you who are into the numbers and you like that kind of stuff. Football Perspective, they're on Twitter at FBG Chase. They have a lot of really good stuff. And I had mentioned the interceptions week one to week two with the quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
So they have the full breakdown. Week one, quarterbacks across the league in the NFL in totality. 66.4% completion percentage, 61 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Week two, a 68.1 completion percentage, 49 touchdowns, and 34 interceptions.
Wow, the defense showed up week two.
Well, and I know that there
Wow, that's Zach Wilson.
Well, that is true. And I know that there is the narrative out there of the, what is McDaniels doing, and are they holding back, and there is the, well, you don't want to get stuff on tape. And some people poo-poo that, and some people don't. I think that interception number does add and lend some credibility to the, once you start to see them on tape, and you, like with Zach Wilson, don't you think putting together a game plan against Zach Wilson after having seen him completely doo-doo down his leg against the Patriots, it's going to be like, well, we know he can't do this and he can't do that, so we're going to make him do it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it helps because you can only get so much out of some of those preseason games, right? You're like, all right, well, this isn't even the group that they're out there with. So, yeah, they obviously made those adjustments from week one to week two. And that's, again, why, you know, Mac Jones being one of a handful of quarterbacks who has not thrown a pick yet this year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was like, oh, you know, where are the touchdowns? Like, all right, still no picks, though. Like, you'll take that. Because one of the knocks, too, with Cam Newton last year, not to keep bringing him up, but he only had 8 touchdown passes. And he also had 12 picks. So like, or was it 10 picks? Whatever it was, he had more picks than touchdowns.
That's right.
So, like, that's not the ratio that you want. You're looking for closer to 2-1, not, you know, 1-1 or 1-2.
A Tom Brady note here from Football Perspective.
Yeah, he's having a season.
This is going to – but this is – stupid. Yep. I mean, this number blows me away. So the number of touchdown passes thrown in the entire history of the NFL by all other quarterbacks after turning 41 years old, all of them in history, like Warren Moon, Bland, all
Steve
of them,
DeBerg,
right?
All Vinny Testaverde,
109.
109 of them.
109.
Favre's probably on there.
Number of touchdown passes Tom Brady has thrown since his 41st birthday, including the postseason, is 114. I mean, like, I know that we're so very used to the, wow, these Tom Brady numbers, and we're blown away by him because we saw the guy for so many years. But when you hear that he has more touchdown passes than everyone else in NFL history combined after the age of 41, it's just stupid.
It's insane. And he's in such a great spot. I know everybody knows that, but they brought the whole team back. And when you watch the Bucs play and he's in shotgun and there's Antonio Brown, there's Chris Godwin, there's Mike Evans, there's Rob Gronkowski, who, oh, by the way, looks like Rob Gronkowski again. And then it didn't even matter who the running back is. Like, that is insane. That is, we had a caller earlier just comparing the Bucs to the Patriots, which, again, all right, best team in the league versus the team trying to make the playoffs, fine. But who's their third receiver? Is it Brown? Is it Godwin? Like, whoever that is, he's a number one almost everywhere else. Like, almost everywhere. There's plenty of good receivers in the league.
But three of those Tampa wide receivers in Brown, Godwin, Evans, they'd be the number one here with a bullet.
With an absolute bullet. And the way Gronk's going, I don't think anybody... Those guys aren't a surprise. Evans and Godwin are in their prime. Brown is like, all right, if his head's screwed on straight and, you know, he can play.
He's almost week to week.
He is.
In
many ways. He still is. But I don't think anybody expected this from Gronk in two games.
No.
Because he flashed it in the Super Bowl, and you're like, all right, it's Super Bowl. Like, you know, he's fired up for that. I wasn't even convinced he was going to come back for this year. But he's like, yep, I'm back. Never felt better. Played in every game last year.
Right.
He did that once here, and it was his second year in the league.
I wish we could have had vintage Gronk and vintage Moss to see how they would have been able to work
together.
Off of those two. Oh, my God. Because that's really, in a way, like, now look, Randy Moss to me is one of the three greatest wide receivers in the history of the National Football League, and I don't think it's really arguable.
No.
There are lots of guys with numbers and stats, but that guy was amazing.
No, it's him, Rice, and pick a third guy.
But that's, in a way, that is almost an equivalent of what you have down there right now. Not one of those guys is necessarily individually as talented as Moss, but in terms of conceptually, how am I going to manage the tight end off the wide receivers? I mean, Gronk is... He can just dial it up. They'd be like,
silly.
That's stupid. By the way, one of the things that Gronk mentioned on the Manning cast yesterday was thanks for teaching Tom the trap ball. I've caught about 16,000, or I've caught about 6,000 yards off of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 6,000 of the 80 that Tom Brady has thrown for.
Pretty good.
Would you like a number that crystallizes just how bad the New York Jets suck?
Of course I would.
This is great. Jets are 0-2 this year, as we know. In 2016, they started 1-5. In 2017, they went 5-11 with Josh McCown as their quarterback. They were 4-12 in 2018. They started 1-7 in 2019. They were 0-13 to start last year, and they're 0-2 this year. And that
sucks.
That's hard to get it that wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. And they've tried different coaches, different quarterbacks, different everything. You know what was amazing is during the game on Sunday, they had the graphic of, it was like, slow starts in New York. The Jets and Giants have both started the season 0-2 each of the last 5 or 6 years, with the exception of there was 1-1-1 start.
Mm-hmm.
But both New York teams just get off to horrible starts all the time. And they've both been bad for a long time. And I don't think either have the answer right now.
Best team in the NFL right now.
Still the Bucs. I got to go with the Bucs. I know it was a close game against the Cowboys, but it's the Tampa Bay Bucs.
All right, let me redirect, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Second best team in the NFL.
I know it was a close game week two, but I'm still going to go LA Rams. LA Rams.
Wow, interesting.
LA Rams 2. And then I know they just lost, but I'll go Chiefs 3.
I got to. I'm starting to sour a little bit on the Chiefs. They're defensively.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Well, look, I'm not in the Patrick Mahomes as a GOAT category.
I got you.
But defensively, they're not good. They're not good.
No, they're not.
And everybody, again, it's the whole offense, Jazz hands.
But
you got to be able to play at least a half a lick of defense.
But let me morph that question then. Best AFC defense.
Best AFC defense?
Yeah, because that's the thing. So somebody's going to beat the Chiefs because I don't think the Titans have a great defense. I don't think that the Bills have a great defense.
See, that's it's almost by process of elimination.
Is it the Pats?
Like
the Browns?
Is it the Steelers defense?
No.
They stink as a team. Like, their offense is awful.
No, I know. And now Watts hurt, though.
Their defense is good.
Yeah, Watts hurt too.
Their defense is pretty good.
I was going to lean.
Bills?
That's what I was going to lean. It's almost kind of the Bills.
So the AFC to me is better than the NFC, but the AFC across the board, maybe with the exception of the Patriots, the good teams, their offense is better than their defense.
Yeah.
Their offense is bringing them there. That's what stood out in that Kansas City-Baltimore game.
Who would be the only ones you'd even consider? Like the Titans?
No.
But they've given up a bunch of points in two games.
No, I would say... Not a homer pick, but I would say Patriots, especially if they get Gilmore back. Maybe
the Raiders'
Bills.
Defense has actually been pretty good.
I'm reserving judgment on them only because they did give up a bunch to Baltimore, obviously, and they did play Pittsburgh, who we admit they're not great offensively. Like if the Raiders hold Kansas City to say 23, like to me that'd be like, oh my God, that's a perfect.
The crazy thing about the Raiders defense too is just the pressure they've gotten without blitzing. They've blitzed one of the five least times in football, and yet Max Crosby is pressuring everyone.
To be fair to the Denver Broncos, they've only allowed 26 points,
right?
But they've also played like suckbag
the Giants
City.
And the Jaguars.
I mean, they're in preseason really by playing the Giants and the Jags, but. They do have a lot of the elements that you look for to have a good defense.
The Patriots and Bills have allowed the fewest amount of points in the AFC, but it's two games, and, you know, the Bills just pitched a shutout, and so that's going to sway things just a little
bit. It's crazy to think that the Patriots would even be in that discussion without Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
But to this point, they're very much a part of it.
Like, all those teams are kind of missing something defensively.
Yep.
Every one of them in the AFC.
And some of them are missing a good offense to go with a good defense as well. Yep. We got Kiefer Madness coming up. By the way, Peter King talking about Mac Jones and Tom Brady. That is coming your way a little after 12:45. Right now, it's time to shine and trend.
Like the show?
Of course you do.
And not that other way, freaks.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
Kiefer Madness.
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it. And I pick up a bag of pizza rolls, and there's literally human. Excuse my language.
I was upset. I was disgusted. I felt like I was violated. I grabbed the bag. I felt something smushy on the bag, so I turned it over, and there it was. I was so disgusted, I was almost in tears. Bleached my hand, I disinfected my hand. All the way home, they still was like, Mom, I can smell it, I can smell it. And I'm like, I smell it too, baby. You can't even put it into words.
My God, that was last week on The Madness. It is noon 30 here on Gresh and Keefe. It's time now for Kiefer Madness. And we have a story, Gresh, that picked up a little bit of steam over the weekend. It got people talking about it over the weekend, and I thought we'd save it for today. There is a gentleman on Twitter. Great way to start just about everything. Goes by the name Dan Clark.
Dan Clark, ladies and gentlemen.
Pretty basic name. Straightforward name there. His Twitter handle is at Dan Clark Sports.
I feel like I need to look this up.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly.
So you know that's legit. If you put sports in the title, you know he's a sportsman.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
He talks sports. He likes sports for a living. Let me give you his Twitter bio as well. I put my MLB opinions out there, and you're probably going to be offended sometimes. Enjoy banter and hot takes. Hashtag girl dad who adores his little angel.
Oh, because that cushions the blow when you put the, I'm the dad of a little cherub.
I also have a young little angel. You can't use her as a shield when you're on, you know, Twitter. That doesn't work like that.
You were pushing yours into the foam pit at gymnastics the other day on Twitter.
I didn't have to push her. She's flying.
I know,
off
she
the
did
thing.
Jump right
she's
in there. It's pretty it. Cool. I would too.
This is always concerning to me. Where does he work?
At Dan Clark Sports, there's no attachment
there.
There's
no website. He's just
no website.
MLB
right?
opinions. Also a red flag. So he is a blue check mark. So he's a verified account. Twitter decided they should verify.
How did that happen?
He has 42,000 followers. That's a good chunk, right?
Yeah,
good amount. He's following over 25,000 people.
Okay, yeah, that, something's rotten in Denmark there on that.
That to me is one of those, all of those are like follow back. So basically minus 25K from his follower pool, and that's probably what he really has.
He probably has a lot of mutes.
But anyway, right. So he tweeted this out. I have always charged $50 to $100 per podcast guest appearance.
Huh?
As I spend at least an hour prepping, followed by a 25-30 minute discussion, and I also promote the appearance both pre and post recording to help grow their following.
Oh, it's that all tweet. About slaps.
Yeah,
he's a helper, this guy.
Now, he wrote on the tweet one of three, so that was just one of three posts in regards to his $50 to $100 podcast fee appearance. Again, I don't know who's booking Dan Clark Sports, but apparently enough for him to make. He followed that up with yesterday. A guy asked me onto his podcast, and I explained my fees. He responded with, F off.
Yeah, yep, that's what I'd say too.
I guess my question is, do people just expect bleep for free nowadays? Why should I invest 2+ hours of my time and not be remunerated for it?
Renumerated.
I am not familiar with that word.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that
you get
as an insult.
Yep, you get renumerations when you do work. That's right.
Did he spell it right?
R-E-N-U-M-E-R-A-T-E-D, renumerated?
God, see, this
No, it's remunerate. It's to pay someone for services rendered or work done.
I thought it was remunerate, but anyway.
I just Googled it.
So. I think we should have this guy on our podcast and he can explain it to us. $50, you know, learn something. His response.
I'd rather buy Shime lunch.
Back to Dan.
Because I'd need all of it.
Dan Clark says, you know, basically wants to be paid for it. He goes, his response was disgusting and highlighted to me why some podcast appearances just aren't worth the cash. What a rude bleep. No wonder he only has a small following. With an attitude like that, he will never grow into something something successful. Jerk! Exclamation point.
And this guy is who again?
He's Dan Clark Sports.
Where is he from?
Shime found on the internet that he is from Down Under.
He can't confirm. He is from Australia.
Major League Baseball from Australia. We actually have a little bit of one of his podcast appearances from the past where he was asked specifically if he likes to ruffle feathers on Twitter.
You mentioned ruffling some feathers on social media. You tend to do that a lot. Do you do it sort of to have a little fun with people, or do you like the debate that comes out of it?
Bit of both. I love the debate. I think people forget sometimes the best thing about Twitter is people can voice their opinion. You know, you can get an ordinary baseball fan, like that's all I am as well, just a guy who loves baseball and writes about it, sharing opinions with players or other, you know, reporters or other fans, whatever it may be.
$100 out the door for that guy. Who's having him on the podcast? I don't even get it. So anyway, you go into some of the comments to that. Here's one from Brian Reed, right? So again, he had those comments, $50 to $100. Can't believe it. Brian Reed says, I have always charged $50 to $100 per podcast guest appearance because I need money to steal tweets from actual reporters. I consider myself an award-winning reporter, and
as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
There's a lot of those.
The only article I've found from this guy is one from 2014 that was on Masson, the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network.
Oh, yeah.
Because this guy's a big Orioles fan.
He's an Orioles fan.
I have a funny feeling knowing that the way these websites work, that guy was not paid for that.
Well, Sean, what was his article he wrote when Manny Machado left the Orioles? And
I can read you the
radio,
title.
Radio version?
The title is F.U. Manny Machado. Yep. Read, and then the link down
below. There it is. Robert Flores, he responded to the tweet.
So wait a minute. So legit people in the business, like Flores, yeah, was the guy who he was at ESPN. Oh, okay.
No, responded.
Oh, responded. Yeah,
responded,
yeah.
Responded to Dan Clark, and he said, "What was that dude's podcast? I'd like to subscribe."
Oh my
the
god!
The guy that told him that.
Oh, fall. That's great. Yeah, I mean, so like legit people in the business are like responding to this room.
Yeah, a few, because it picked up a ton of steam over the weekend because everybody was like, "Wait a minute, so this guy's charging between $50 and $100 just to appear on a podcast, and he sounds like he's doing them this great favor. All he has is fake followers on his Twitter account anyway. I can't imagine an appearance by Dan Clark Sports on the Dork Podcast would all of a sudden like shoot us to the moon. I don't get it. And then so you had a lot of people responding, which is like, that's not really how it works. First of all, you don't, Gresh, you've been asked to be on people's podcasts. You can say, sorry, I can't, or you can say, sure, and go on and spend a few minutes with these people. What's the harm? What's the harm in that?
There's none.
It's very, especially nowadays where you can just sit at home and do it through your computer.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to drive out of your way or do anything. You're just like, yeah, sure, I'll turn my computer on, talk to you for a few minutes.
It's not hard.
No, it's not that big.
And is
a deal.
This guy worth it now? Is
I'm going to guess no.
I think that's the beauty of it, engaging in discussion and putting your opinions out there. So I love that. And then there's, yeah, I guess it.
Yeah, it's a no for me. I don't need that guy on my podcast.
I'm finding like years worth of Reddit posts on the MLB subreddit of people hating this guy.
Okay.
So the top result is them saying he's a fake reporter.
Right. And so
I think. Well, he's not a reporter at all because you have to work for someone to actually report report things about what you allegedly don't know.
Correct. And also, it's so easy to steal stuff on Twitter. So what? I don't know how he got the following that he did. Again, I'm sure he bought followers and paid for them or whatever.
Well, all those podcast appearances, you go out and buy Twitter followers.
That's true. He's like, it's going to cost you $75 and you have to follow me on Twitter for me to go on there. But I think he'll just steal other people's stuff and then act like he's reporting it, and then somehow that's grown into what this is today. But he's never gotten as much attention as he did over the weekend.
Now, did he get persnickety with someone on this show?
Yeah, Chris Scheim told me, because I'm like, I came in today, I'm like, let's do this story for Madness, and Scheim goes, he deleted all the tweets. I'm like, oh, he did? I'm like, he seemed pretty proud of himself. So then I went on to look. I'm like, no, they're still there. Scheim, that means he blocked you.
Yeah, I just blocked him. And all I did was quote tweet it. I tagged the Dork Podcast and the Mac and Goo Podcast and said, hey, I'm going to send a Venmo request for my reparations for all the time that I spent on your podcast. That's all.
Scheim has more writing credibility than this Aussie freak.
Correct.
Yep. He's written on WEI.com. That's more what that guy do, Masson. And by the way, I went to the bottom of that page. You know what it was? Oh, the guest bloggers. So basically,
it didn't work for them.
So what Masson was doing, which is typical of
it's like when the Vikings took my draft report on Yeager Grosmatos.
Oh, add that to
exactly.
That's a writing credit.
It's like the regional sports networks, you know, with the whole, if you'd like to submit your work, we'll review it and put it on our website to make you feel good about yourself, but don't dare expect a check.
In that podcast interview, too, he says he loves the trolls and that it's water off a duck's back. Well, then why'd you block me? What did I do?
Yeah, you didn't even criticize him.
I didn't even swear at the guy.
I'm pretty sure he just went on a blocking spree.
I also said in a separate tweet that I loved all the and there's a deep drive to left field tweets that were in response.
Well, those were all pretty funny. That's what most of them were.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
That will never get old.
And like the people that are asking, like, you're not going on Joe Rogan. You're not going on Pardon My Take. And even still, that'd be worth more for you to go on those shows than the other way around.
It's like one thing if you're a recurring guest on something that's making money. But, you know, most podcasts don't make that
most
much money.
Like, there are millions of podcasts out there. There are people that are just trying to break into the business. They just want to talk about it. And they want to talk to you for a few minutes about freaking baseball. And you're like, $100. $100.
Can you imagine this guy getting his Vegemite toast ready in the morning? Hey, lovely. I had to block.
Pop open at Foster's.
I had to block this chubby guy who was crapping at me in Massachusetts. Who was getting on me because they're charging to go on the pods.
Let's get him on the show, actually, when they play the Orioles next week.
I'll dial him up. I'll see if he answers.
Now, that would be
odd.
You know what?
You know what? Let's get him on.
Scheim, I will give you the $100 to book this asshat so you can put him on the Winners Club podcast with you and John, which, by the way, will be up later today at WEEI.com. There's your key for madness.
There you go.
Peter King drops Brady and Mac Jones knowledge on us next.
Wherever you're working from,
Gresh and Keefe go where you do.
I might have a hard time getting up.
Download the Odyssey app.
Or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
So this year with Peter King, we are going to do things a little differently here with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. So it's going to be a podcast every week at WEEI.com and on the Odyssey app. It'll be Keith and myself and our extended chat with Peter King every week. So if you'd like the full about 15, 16-minute version of our chat, you can go to WEEI.com and find that. But we're going to pluck out a couple of things for us and to give to you right now from Peter King of NBC Sports. It's brought to you by Zooty. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Of course, you know at NBCSports.com, Peter King has that, you know, Monday morning column, and he's been famous for it for a long time. We didn't get to talk to him in week one, but we asked him through 2 weeks, what do you see in Mac Jones?
After his first series as a New England Patriot, he has acted totally, absolutely, unequivocally like he belongs. And I think one of the things about the quarterback business these days, I noticed that Ryan Clark on Twitter today said that the Bears are babying Justin Fields. And I did something in my column a couple of weeks ago about all of the quarterbacks who did not play in year one. Essentially, they played a little bit. They had cameos. But that includes Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Palmer, and Patrick Mahomes. My question is, what do you want? Do you want to feed a young quarterback to the Wolves when he might not be ready, or when you just think that, hey, listen, let's take our time. and let's get this guy ready to go for 15 years rather than 3 years, and then just eject him along with all the other failed quarterbacks you've had. Now, as far as Mac Jones goes, the one thing that you heard out of everybody at Alabama and out of the people who scouted him is that he had one of his rare traits was maturity, readiness, nothing surprised them and all that. So that's why I think you're going to have growing pains with him, but I also don't think that it's going to corrode him. I don't think it's going to be corrosive for him to play early on.
Yeah, it is an interesting take. We talked about it all, you know, off season about the what situation for the rookie quarterback to have success, you know, as a rookie, and like and you know, because you can use the examples of this guy's all sat for a year. So you think if Mahomes didn't sit the first year, he would have sucked? Like, I don't. Like, I think the guys would have been.
He would have been okay. He might have struggled a little more in the beginning, but he'd been fine.
So we went from one quarterback to the other, and we asked him, you know, now that Tom Brady has 9 passing touchdowns through 2 weeks, is there really anything new you can say about the guy?
I think the one thing you can say, and I keep looking back to that time that I sat with him after his final game as a Patriot for 10 minutes, and I could just sense he was kind of angry that day. And obviously you're going to be angry after you lose a game. But I look back at it now and I read more of it into that. And I read into that that, you know, it's just time to go. You know, for whatever reason, I don't have the weapons around here that I'd really like to have. Plus, I just really want to go. It's time to go. I think the one thing that has been really beneficial is that he has a general manager in Jason Light and 2 offensive coaches. You know, in Arians and Leftwich, who basically trust him and who want to surround him and want to give him the freedom to have not only these great players around him, but to have the freedom, which he will not abuse, to be able to call the kind of things that he wants to call. So he stepped into a perfect situation with a team that I will always say was so significantly better than a 7-9 bumbling, stumbling Bucks team. Because if you look at how many games they lost that year because of Jameis Winston's carelessness, this team was a lot closer when Tom Brady arrived than people thought.
It is hard to come up with anything new to talk about Tom Brady other than just us being able to watch in amazement. He's going to go down as, I mean, we're really talking about now just not being the greatest football player of all time. He's in there for the greatest athlete of all time.
And one of the other things that Peter talked about, and you can check out the full podcast, WEEI.com, is he's also, though, paved the road for other quarterbacks if they want to play that long. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of it is, and maybe you're seeing it a little bit with Aaron Rodgers and even Russell Wilson, how they're both playing for their teams right now, but they're having a little bit of a struggle. And it's because Tom Brady wouldn't be playing at this level in New England. He wouldn't have won a Super Bowl in New England last year. So it's, all right, you kind of max out with one place. You obviously have to keep your body and everything right, but you need to be on the right team. So you see where he's playing now in Tampa Bay, and it's the perfect spot for him.
We're going to see quarterbacks choose choice over money, meaning, oh, I'll take a 4-year deal instead of a 7 because I want to reserve my right to maybe change my mind a little bit. The Peter King chat, WEEI.com. You want to check that out. And again, Peter is brought to us by Zudy. Final hour. We're on to New Orleans next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back,
and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.